Well, I'm sure some of y'all are expecting Courtney, and I know we don't quite look the same, but we're just going to go with it. Okay. So, just to kind of, I want to start by recapping, just to kind of look at where y'all have been, because y'all are in week four now of this process. You've come through Grow 1, now you're in Grow 2. And in this process, you know, I say process because that's truly what it is. I mean, basically, this thing's laid out like a roadmap. And each week builds on the next week, which builds on the next series, which builds on what the ending result's supposed to be. And so as you come into week one was understanding the different types of prayers. That's crucial in this walk with God, because if we don't understand how to pray in the different types of prayer, it kind of renders us helpless in the sense of knowing how to pray for certain situations. And as you grow in your walk, and as you grow as a believer and as someone who serves, different types of prayers are required because you're dealing with different types of situations. And so we've gone over different types of prayers, and then y'all went on to how to use the soap when reading the Bible. And how has the soap been? I mean, I know that's probably new to some of y'all, but has that changed the way you study the Bible? I know it's one of the methods that I use when I study, but does it change anybody in there? Has it changed the way y'all study the Bible? John? Yeah, that's good. And then in week three, last week, y'all did understanding the biblical teachings of fasting and prayer. And, you know, fasting and prayer was something that was uncommon to me. You know, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I didn't truly understood prayer. I didn't understand the combination of fasting and prayer. And that's what we talked about last week. And if you look, and if you look throughout the Bible, in so many situations, fasting and prayer was the key thing that ignited what they were searching for. It ignited healing, it ignited victory, and it ignited things. And so fasting and prayer is something that you'll use in your everyday life and your weekly walk and your daily walk with Christ as you grow in this. And if you don't access it, and if you don't use it to the, you know, this it's a gift. Fasting and prayer is a gift. It's something that God has given us to access Him. It almost puts Him in the express lane, is kind of how I look at it. You know, you can go to any fast food restaurant, but you go to McDonald's and they got two lanes. And you can get through there. You know, the only people that are faster than McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. I don't know how Chick-fil-A does it. It's amazing. But they can get you in and out. Well, almost fasting is like that. And I hate to compare fasting to Chick-fil-A, but fasting puts you in that lane of truly seeking out God. And things break loose when we begin to separate ourselves from the world and put ourselves in the lane with fasting and the seeking God. Has the aspect of fasting in y'all and the application of it this week, has it showed up in your life? Has it made anything tougher this past week? Or because I know y'all have been on a fast. Anybody? Kimber?
Do I have to tell what happened?
No, you don't have to if you don't want to. Okay. Anybody that wants to share, I'll say that, with fasting. I'll call you out. Well, I can tell you, I've been on it, Liz.
Even harder.
Yes. Yeah, anytime you separate yourself from His kingdom, I mean, the kingdom of the enemy is the world. Anytime you separate yourself from the world, especially as a Christian, He's going to come after you, and He's going to attack you in those areas. That's why you pair fasting with prayer, because when you pair fasting with prayer, the prayer is what builds up the fasting. That's what gets you through those tough times. That's good. And then so tonight we're going to talk about how to know and understand the voice of God. And all of this is leading up to the next section, which y'all start next week, and it's living like Jesus. See, understanding different types of prayer, understanding how to read the Bible, understanding biblical teaching of fasting and prayer, and knowing and understanding the voice of God are four key elements in living a life like Jesus. So week four of how to know and understand God, the voice of God, let's open up with prayer. Gracious Father, just come to you. And God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your presence, to come into your house. And God, I just pray that As we journey through your word tonight, God, I just pray, Father, that you paralyze my lips, and God, that your word flows through me and you speak through me, God, and that you're glorified. And God, I just pray that the heart and the face of Jesus is shown in here tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. So when we're talking about how to know and understand the voice of God, I've got a story I want to share with you. When I was younger, when I turned 16, I knew everything, I thought. When I turned 21, I really knew everything. I was probably one of the most smartest people in the world. And when I turned 21, I had to go and buy me a new truck. Had to. It had to happen. And I was chasing cows. I was working cows. I was painting race car trailers. I was making money. I was doing all this thing. And I had to have a new truck. And there was something inside of me, even at the age of 21, I knew what I was getting myself into was dangerous. I knew the purchase of this brand new truck off the lot was dangerous, but my will and my flesh trumped this voice in my head and said, you know what? I got to have that truck. This has to be part of my life. I got to the point where I would not be happy if I could not obtain this thing. What's crazy about this story is that at the right age of 21, when my life was as far away from Christ as it could be, God was still talking to me. The problem is I could hear him, but I wasn't listening. I didn't understand the voice of God. I didn't understand the tug. I didn't understand what God was trying to get me to see, because he knew the destruction that was leading down the road. He knew I was immature. He knew I wasn't capable of paying for this thing the right way, and he knew I wasn't capable of taking care of it. I was 21. I'm 38, and I will finish paying that truck off in June of this year. Do the math. I was 21, I'm 38, and I'll pay that truck off in June. Huh? It's okay, Serena. The reason I tell y'all this is because when I was 21, God was speaking to me in my most wretched time, and I refused to listen to the Word of God because I didn't understand how to listen to the Word of God. Even at that age, I read the Bible. I didn't study the Bible. I knew God, but I didn't know God. So his voice was not familiar to me. And so 6 years later, here I am fixing to pay this truck off because of the series of events that it led to. And if I told you the series of events it led to, y'all would all think I was foolish, and I was. And as I was looking at this today and pondering, I can clearly see where God was trying to keep me from destruction. But because of my own free will and my own desire, I trumped what God was calling me to do. And yes, I have paid for it for this long. For 17 years, I've paid for it. So as we get started, most of us are familiar with praying. We know and understand the importance of talking to God and spending time with him. Having a consistent time of worship and prayer are vital and essential to a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus. The fact is that when we pray, we are spending time with a real personal God who loves us and longs to be close. When we are praying, we are spending time with a God, the God of the cosmos, the God, the creator of all, who longs to spend time with us. I think we lose sight of that. That as we spend time with God, God desires for that time to be allotted to him, and he desires to have conversation with us. The problem is not that we fail to let God know what we need or want. There's nobody in here has a problem telling God what they need or want. Everybody does that. Just like the slot machine. I want to put money, I want to pull that handle, God, and I need this, I want this. So God is not going without knowing what we need or what we want. It's that we fail to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation between us and Jesus. A conversation is not one person talking while the other person sits and listens, yet that's how many of us treat our prayer time. We sit in our chair and tell God everything and ask him for all that we need, but we fail to practice the other side of prayer. That's listening for and to the voice of God. Many believers know how to pray, but few know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. In order to have real conversation and deeper relationship with God, we must give him time to talk, time to respond to all that we are saying, and asking him to do in our hearts and lives. to share his heart and his desire for us. So what I'm saying here and what we're fixing to talk about is, how do we do this? How do we know that God's speaking to us? How do we know that the voice or what we're hearing is God's voice versus ours? Is God's voice versus our friends? Is God's voice versus our wives? Is God's voice versus our husband? How do we know that it's God's voice? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So how do we listen to God's voice? Does anybody in here have a idea of how you truly listen to God's voice? Kimber? Huh?
Quit talking.
Listening? Oh, Larry?
Yeah, it's quietness. And his voice always will line up with his word.
That's very good.
Very good.
That's very good. How do we know it's God's voice and not someone else's? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to go over. Before we get done, that's what I want to make sure and ensure that we know how to hear and understand God's voice and that we recognize God's voice. And so the very first thing I want to ask is, does God really want to talk to us today? We know he wanted to talk to him in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. But does God, the creator of the cosmos, the one that turned the water into wine, the one that defeated death, does he desire to have a conversation with us today? Yes. The answer to that is yes. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, or understand. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God desires today, as much as he did when he met Paul on the road to Damascus, to speak to his children. We are created in his image. We are the image of Christ. And if the God of creation that spoke creation into existence, with his mouth, he spoke creation into existence. And when he made us, we were created in his image to rule over his creation. Don't you think that God desires to speak with us today? Is that right? Everybody on the same page with me? So we're established that God wants to talk. The reason I ask that question is because so many people believe that God being God, there's no way he could want to spend time with me. How could the God that has all of this going on, how could he want to talk to little old me? I've got three daughters, and my daughters drive me crazy at times. But I can tell you one of the most precious things of my day is when I walk in and hear my daughters' voices, and they tell me about their day at school. Or they call me on the phone at work and they tell me what they're doing. There's nothing more precious. Imagine how much more precious it is to God when he hears from his children. It's one of the most valuable commodities that we have, is this full access to a God that desires to talk to us. So why don't more Christians hear from God? Number one, many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. Instead, they are quick to talk to others about him and about their problems. Therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf. Now, I want to stop right here just for a second. There is no substitute for God. Just because you go talk to your friend about it, or you go talk to a counselor about it, or you go talk to your mama or your daddy or your grandma that's been raised in the church her whole life, does not substitute for you talking to God. We have substituted counseling. We have, and there's nothing wrong with counseling. I think godly counseling is very, very beneficial. It changed my life. But when we think that sitting down with a counselor or sitting down with a spiritual giant within the church, and that's where we stop the conversation at, that conversation didn't get related to God. You cannot substitute your conversation with someone else and expect it to get to God. It won't happen. You have to be willing and able to take that conversation and take that knowledge and take it to God and petition God, because as you can be the greatest pastor, you can be the greatest counselor, but they're still fallible. And they cannot tell you the will of God for your life. Only God can give you his will for you through prayer. So we have to quit substituting. our prayer time with someone else and spending all of this time and this energy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it can't stop there. It has to go to the next level. We have to bring and petition our needs, our concerns, our thanksgivings, our praise, our worries, our fears. We have to bring those to the altar. We have to bring those to the foot of the cross, because at the foot of the cross, when we're climbed up in the middle of Jesus' lap and we're talking to God, that's where we'll find what we're looking for. Man cannot give you what you're looking for. We were created to disappoint. I mean, when we were born of sin and born of flesh. We're going to disappoint. I disappoint my wife every day, and I don't do it on purpose. But I do because I am not her father. I'm not God. I cannot give and meet all of her needs. There's a lot of times she comes to me and asks me things, and I'll give her the best biblical advice I give her. But when I always tell her, I said, you need to take it to the Lord. And when she does, 99% of the time, she can come back and say, I heard from God. Thank you. Because God still desires to talk to us today. Number two, others are great at talking to God about all kinds of things, especially their problems. However, they don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to their request and complaints. We want to run up to God and talk at him. My children talk at me sometimes instead of talk to me. We talk at God, but talking to God is when you sit down in that quiet place, you get the distractions out of your life, and you talk to him. And when you get through talking to him, you listen. You don't just hear him. When I was 21 years old and buying this truck, I heard him. I heard him. I heard him. I never stopped and listened to him. You have to stop and listen to what God, and you got to give him time. We have a responsibility in this. And our responsibility is to take and petition God, take our concerns and the different types of prayers that you've studied and thanksgiving and whether it be intercessory prayer, whatever type of prayer, and lay it before God. But you have to give him time to answer. We want him like a genie in a bottle. We want to rub him pop out, give us the answer we want so we can go on about our day. And God's not like that. God wants to be intimate with his children. He wants to hear from his children. He wants you to trust him in your petition to him and spend time listening for his voice. But we get so hectic and so fast and going 90 miles an hour that we don't hear his voice. And he's basically yelling at us, but we're so consumed by what we want and what we need that we can't hear what God has for us. And so we miss so many opportunities in our life of God speaking. I think back at the opportunities that I've missed and times God has spoke to my life and convicted my heart. And because I was so focused on Justin, so focused on my time frames and what I had to do and my schedule and my kids' schedule at times, that I missed what God was trying to speak to me. Because I brought it to him, and the minute I said amen, here I go. Just as wide open. And then get down here and then not be answered and wonder why. God, why didn't I hear from you? I never slowed down long enough to hear from him. I never stopped long enough and sat with my dad and let my father, my earthly father, speak into me. Number three, then there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he is saying, which gets him in some potential problems and sticky situations. This goes back to what Larry was talking about a while ago. See, we have so many times we misinterpret what God's saying. God's obvious. It's God's word. He is righteousness. God is a righteous God, and because he is a upstanding righteous God, his answers and his response will line up with his word. It cannot veer from his word. It's yes, no, and amen. God doesn't have a maybe. He doesn't work in maybes. The Bible says that God's answers are yes and no. And so we confuse and misinterpret what God's saying because we haven't slowed down long enough to hear it. And we hear a voice or we hear something that strikes a chord in us. And without testing it, which is what we're fixing to talk about here in a little bit, without testing the fruit of what we're hearing, we just go do it. And then all of a sudden, we're wondering why we're in this situation. And God never gave you that. God never laid that out there before us. That wasn't the answer God was giving us, but we answered. He didn't answer in the time frame that we wanted, so we misinterpret something because somebody walks in the bathroom and says, hey, man, I got a word for you. God spoke something to me. And it has nothing to do with what God was even trying to call you to do. And it's because we haven't slowed down long enough to hear the word of God, and so we misinterpret it. And it gets us in some bad situations, like a 17-year truck note. Very bad situations. So what we're fixing to do now is we're fixing to go through some sections in the Bible, and I'm going to go through these pretty quick, of where God spoke through the Bible and how he spoke, all right, to show different ways that God speaks in the Bible. So number one, in 2 Kings 22, this is King Josiah, all right, and so what happens in 2 Kings 22 is Josiah has sent out one of his priests to go to the temple, to rebuild the temple, and they find the book of the law. They bring it back, Josiah reads it, he realizes that the way he is running his kingdom and the way they're acting is completely opposite of what God's law calls. He repents, and he repents, and he cries out to God, and he cries out to God and says, I've done this wrong, but I'm going to start doing it the way your law book read. I've read your law book. So he has spoke to Josiah through his word. He finds the scrolls, which is the Bible, all right? And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 support that. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Well, these scrolls, this is part of the Bible. This is where the Bible come from, Megan.
Hey, there's some confused look. This is part of the group work, but for time's sake, we're just kind of going over it together.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have told y'all that. So the group work, I apologize. Okay. We're going to come back to the group work. Okay, for time's sake, we couldn't go through every one of those. So when we get to the end, I'm going to give y'all some to do the group work. I apologize for that. Everybody on track now? I apologize. Thank you, Megan. Number two, are we good? All right, number two, knowledge and understanding of his character. Okay, in Exodus 34, 5 through 7, all right, this is where he reveals himself to Moses in a cloud. And God begins to say who he is. He calls himself Yahweh. Yahweh means Lord. He begins to reveal characteristics of himself to Moses. And God is speaking to Moses. Okay? And he reveals himself to Moses through knowledge and understanding of his character. And the reason that's important is because he is telling Moses, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And you need to know this because what you're fixing to be called to do. So you need to understand who's calling you to do this. So when you study the names, God has over 1,000 names in the Bible that he is called. Knowing those names are important because when you're looking and searching for healing, you need to know that God is Jehovah Rapha. That means God healer. Okay, when you're looking in your finances and you're looking for, or whatever it is for provision, you know, it's Jehovah Jireh, that's God provider. You know, there's so many different ones. He calls himself the Lord of the Army of Hosts. That's Jehovah Tsaba. That means God warrior. And so that's talked about a lot in Joshua where he's calling Joshua to be this warrior. And without knowing the characteristics of God, when we go to seek him in prayer, and then we go to seeking for things in our life, but we don't know the characteristics of who we're seeking, we can miss his voice. And we can miss what he's calling us to see and know. Number three, guidance and counsel for Christian leadership. 1 Kings 12, 6 and 19, and 1 Samuel 9, 6 and 8. So the king Rehoboam, he does it wrong. So what he does is he goes to wise counsel. He asks them, should I do this? He said, should I tax our people? And they say, no, don't do it. He says, if you'll serve them, they'll serve you. He says, well, I'll think about it. He goes to a younger set of guys that are underneath his rule, and they say, no, you need to be harsher than your father was. His father was a previous king. He says, you need to be harsher than your father was. So that's what he ends up doing, and what happens is the Israelites end up turning against themselves. That they band against, and they pretty much, some of the Israelites denounce the kingdom of David. That's their people. They turn against their own family because King Rehoboam does it completely wrong, completely backwards. But then you go look where Saul seeks Samuel's advice, and if you look, it's God has made this. He's looking for this learner guy, and he's looking for advice, and he's looking for this prophet, and he meets him. God sets up this arrangement, and he asks him for advice, and he takes that advice because it's wise counsel. It's wise, older, godly counsel. Saul, and so they do it right. And so he reveals himself through guidance and counsel from Christian leadership. This is important because we so often go to unchristian leadership. We go to our buddy to the left, our buddy to the right, our sister that doesn't have a walk with Christ, our mama that doesn't have a walk with Christ. And because they say it, well, that's my mama, I'm going to do it. And that's not right. If they're not pointing you toward Christ and what you're seeking, it's not right. And even when they point you toward Christ, you still, like we talked about a while ago, you still have to take it to Jesus. Amen. Number four, observing the activity of God. In Acts 13, 1 and 3, it's the Holy Spirit directed the leaders to set Paul and Barnabas apart for work. So basically, it says the church earnestly prayed for Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit revealed himself to them and says, send these two. All right, so he reveals himself through the Holy Spirit, and they're observing the activity of God. So the church is praying for Paul and Barnabas. They collectively come together and say, all right, this is what the Holy Spirit's saying. They meet, everybody agree, and they say, all right, Paul and Barnabas, you go do this, because this is what the Lord spoke to us. Number five, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Acts 15, 22, and 35, and it says, the council's letter to new believers indicated that their decision was in unity with the Holy Spirit. They felt the peace of the Holy Spirit. So this group come together to seek an answer, and as a group, they felt confident in their decision, and they felt peace. Anytime you seek an answer from God, chaos will not be in the answer. God cannot operate in chaos. He operates in absolute peace. When you seek, and if you don't have peace about an answer, that means God hasn't given you that complete answer yet. That means you have to wait. That means it's time to pull back and wait just a little bit more. Because he hasn't either give you the full answer, he may not give you an answer at all. But I promise when God speaks to you, you know it because it's absolute peace. And doors open and doors shut that need to be shut and doors open that need to be opened in order for us to see what God's calling us to do. Number six is wisdom. In Genesis 47, Pharaoh and Joseph planned to save grain for 7 years before the famine. Okay, Joseph had a dream, and in this dream, God revealed to him, Pharaoh had a dream, and when he interpreted the dream, Pharaoh come to him and says, what? He says, all right, there's going to be 7 years of prosperity in this place. But after that, 7 years of famine are going to follow. Well, those 7 years of prosperity, because of wisdom, they stored up all the grain. Well, during the 7 years of famine, when they needed that grain, well, they had the grain. And so what they did was they bought the land from everybody. Pharaoh owned all the land, and they swapped them food for it. So they used wisdom to seek God's word. Number seven, supernatural intervention. Acts 12, 5, and 17. Peter freed from prison by an angel. Basically, Peter's in prison, an angel walks in, unhandcuffs him, tells him to get dressed, and walks him out of the prison. Walks him out of the prison, and he goes home. Supernatural intervention by God. God wasn't done with Peter. Peter still had a calling on his life. He still had a plan for Peter, and he sent an angel down there through supernatural intervention. Peter's family got to see God and got to have a prayer answered because Peter knocked on the door and they went crazy because they heard his voice and didn't believe it was him. All right, number eight. So, James, Curtis, y'all, this side of the room, y'all look up number eight, Genesis 37, 5 through 11, and Genesis 28, 10 and 17. And y'all tell me how God spoke to Jacob. And then this side of the room, from Trent and over, y'all are going to do number 10. Y'all going to do 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14, and Acts 9. And tell me way God used, what way God spoke in that scripture. Yeah, if y'all want to split it up like they did, y'all can do that. So if the, which one are y'all looking up? Well, for time's sake, Larry and Trent's table, y'all do 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14, and then y'all do Acts 9. Y'all do Acts 9 too. On this side of the room over here, because I know they've already. So in y'all had, which one did y'all have? All right, how did God talk to Joseph? Through his dreams, that's right. Number 8 is dreams for y'all to fill in. Do what? And y'all did Genesis 28, 10 and 17, right? And so what did y'all get off of that? Through his dreams, that's correct. Okay. And then number 9, I'll cover that, then we'll go to number 10. So number 9 is visions. All right. And this is when the Holy Spirit revealed himself to Cornelius, okay? Cornelius was the first Gentile that's received salvation. He was the first one that became a believer, okay? Cornelius was a Roman soldier, and the Holy Spirit showed up to him. And if you study that scripture, he not only showed up to Cornelius, but he also showed up to Peter. And Peter was like, what are you talking about? This is, you want me to go teach it to the Gentiles? And after he was after he received salvation, after he experienced the Holy Spirit, Peter then said, you know what? The Word of God is for Jew and Gentile alike. It's for everybody. It's not just for us. And so Cornelius was the head. He was one of the main Roman soldiers for Pontius Pilate. And the Holy Spirit revealed himself to him, and it saved his whole family. So that's how he, in number 9, was through visions. Now, number 10, what did y'all get, Larry? That's exactly right. It's an audible voice. In 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14, he's going back and forth. He thinks somebody's calling out to him. And he says, hey, he says, what? He said, I'm not. Well, she said, that ain't me. He said, go back to sleep. Back and forth. And he was hearing the audible voice of God, but he didn't recognize it. So, and then Acts 9. Who had Acts? Y'all had Acts? Yeah, and if you study that, what's cool is the guys that were with Saul at the time, they could hear something, but they couldn't see nothing. And God revealed himself just to Paul and spoke to him in an audible voice. I personally have never heard God speak in an audible voice. But when God speaks to your heart and he speaks to your spirit, it's just as clear as God standing in front of you. So it's important to remember, when God speaks, what he says will never contradict or disagree with his written word, the Bible. Now, this last little portion over here, I'm going to do this a little differently. The what do you do after you hear from God? Chris, if you will, throw all 5 of those up, the answers. All right. Make sure you understand what God is saying. Number 2 is get biblical confirmation. Number 3 is apply God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction to your life. Number 4 is obey what the Lord says to do or not, says to do or not to do. And then number 5, write down what God says and what happened when you obeyed, and put the date next to it. So what I want to do, I know this has been kind of choppy tonight. It's just a lot of information. I was trying to get it all to you. But what I want to do before we close tonight is I want to give you the opportunity, if anybody in here is praying for something in their life, or is looking for understanding and don't quite understand how they could hear God's voice in the situation, if you're willing to share, I'll show you how. Is anybody willing to share something that they're seeking and want to know truly how through this they would understand and hear God's words? Go ahead. Okay, so number 1 is to understand that. And so if this was, and this is something that I understand exactly where you come from. So number 1 is understand. Understand that God has a will for you. Understand that God has a plan for you. And not only does he have a plan for you, God is omnipresent, means he's everywhere. He is time. So because God is time, these are characteristics of God. God was before you, he's with you now, and he's standing at the end of the road to what his will lead you to. So he has a plan for Kim. So number one, we understand that. So number two is get biblical confirmation. So what I would do is I would begin to seek the Word of God, not for what to do. Because we get so hung up on, well, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? 99% of the time, He just wants you to be available. That's what God calls us to be, is be obedient. And availability comes through obedience. Availability comes through searching the Word, praying, seeking out God, spending time in the Word, getting to know Him. And so whether it be full-time ministry or it be a bus driver, whatever God calls you to do to further His kingdom and to glorify His kingdom and His will the most, there's biblical principles behind being available, of just looking and saying, all right, God, I know something's in my heart. You've put it in here. I understand you've put it in here for a reason. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to make myself available. The third thing would be to apply it. Apply God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction. So if you just say you were seeking full-time ministry, I would go and begin to talk to people in full-time ministry, people in positions that can speak wisdom into your life. Not, you know, a lot of times you ask your friend, well, are you going to be in full, you know, they'll think you're crazy. And it's because they don't understand. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense to other people. But if it makes sense to you and that tugs in your heart, it's in there for a reason. And so that's where I would seek out wise counsel. And I think we got some of the most amazing wise counsel walking the halls of these churches to lead you in that direction. Number four is obey what the Lord says to do or not to do. He's going to prompt you. He prompted me. I thought that my whole entire life was going to be painting. That's what I've done for the past 20 years. And that's all I've known. I did that and worked and chased cows. It's the only two jobs I've ever had. That's all I've ever done. And so when God called me to do what I'm doing, I said, all right, I just got to obey what you're saying to do. And a lot of it didn't make sense. A lot of it still doesn't make sense. But when I do, I'll not only make myself available, but it opens up for God to be able to use me and to guide me versus me guiding myself. And so I just obey what He tells me to do. And so what I do is I wake up and I say, God, I know today You're calling me to be the manager of this shop and You're calling me to serve in this capacity, and I'm going to do it to my fullest. And when You call me and You – I wasn't supposed to teach tonight. All right? I was supposed to be in a whole nother class doing something else, and they called me at 10 o'clock and said, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to have to go teach all of this. You know what I did? I said, okay. I said, all right, God, I'm available. Whatever I need to do, let's do it. That's obeying. And then the last thing is write down what God says. And I do this. I'm doing a five-year journal right now. And that five-year journal is called Record, Reflect, Restart. And I record it. And I'm not a journaler at all. That's not who I am. But I begin to do it. And I can already see, since the first of the year, some of the things that I've wrote down that God's answered to prayers. And just imagine when I come back in 2020 and go underneath these days and say, wow. And so that's the reason why it's so powerful to write these things down, record them, and know what God's telling you to do. When God tells you to do, write it out and do it. And that right there is how you'll find, and that's when God will speak to you. Anybody else? John? And that's a big decision. Number one, you have to understand that doesn't surprise God. You have to understand that the idea of you thinking about that, I'm not telling you it's God's will for you. I never do it. But you have to understand that what you're thinking doesn't surprise God. And you have to understand that God will light that pathway for you if you allow Him to. And if you say, God, no matter what, because when we seek God's will, we even have to go as far as saying, God, even if it doesn't look like I want it to look for my children, I'm going to follow Your will. And the reason why is because His will is perfect. And the way He would want to do it, whatever His will is probably something you haven't even thought of. And so that's the reason why you have to understand and know that God has a plan for this, and it doesn't surprise Him. Number two, biblical confirmation. And that biblical confirmation in that situation, what I would seek out is the characteristics of God. I would seek out and know that God, He has a plan for everything, and that when I'm putting this up, I would be beginning to seek out prayer and fasting like y'all have already talked about. If I was dealing with a situation like that, I said, all right, God, I need clarity because this is my children. I need clarity because this is my life we're talking about. I need clarity because you may be calling me away from this church, or this may change the outlook of my whole life. So I'm going to pray and fast until something breaks loose. And if God is who God says he is, he will give you an answer. Because he can't fail. It may be scary, but he'll give you an answer. Number three, apply God's counsel. I would begin to talk to somebody in a very wise professional counselor situation for something that big, because that's not just something that you return from. And I would begin to speak. I talk to my wife because it affects her. I talk to my family. I would talk to a counselor. I would talk to a pastor. I would talk to somebody that could help me in directing my thought process on that. Number four, obey. What God calls you to do, do it. If he tells you to stand still, stand still. The definition of patience is actively waiting. Think about that. Actively waiting, active pursuit of waiting. So it's you're doing something, but you're standing still. And so in the obeying this is you have to stand still until God tells you to do something. And number five, write it down. Somebody else? We got time for probably one more. No? We good? Okay. The reason I did that is because it's tough sometimes to understand what you're going, when you're seeking something, what that voice is. Is this God? Is this me? Is this me pushing my will, or is this truly God talking to me? No, that's human nature. Yeah, that's human nature. And the same process, and I know this may sound crazy, I've dealt with the same process applies if you're thinking about buying a truck, all right, or if you're thinking about doing something that isn't completely just life-changing. But then there's other things in our life that we're seeking God that we don't have the answers for. It may be healing. I know when my mom had cancer, and I mean, this beautiful, amazing woman goes through this process, and I see her dying before my eyes, and I remember my old pastor, and I said, how is he going to heal her? I know he's going to heal her because this is what he's speaking. How is he going to do it? He said, son, she's going to be healed either on this side or the other side. And that right there opened my mind up to who God is. I was like, you know what? That's his way. I now see why it happened the way the people that come to salvation through that, through the death of my mom, is mind-blowing to me. And so I understood now, as I've gotten older and I've studied the Word and I've gotten wiser in this, I can look at that and say, God had his hand in it the whole time. Was it done how I wanted it done? No. But he had a bigger, greater plan for his glory, and now I see this big, broad spectrum of how it glorified God. And so there's these things in our life that we deal with that we don't understand, and if we don't stop, take the time to listen and pursue God's word, we'll miss what God's talking about. Josh, we've got about two more minutes. That's very good. That's very good, because to add to what Josh was saying is that you have to have faith, but if we'll step back and know that God, is there nobody in here wants our kids to go down a road of destruction? Nobody in here says, you know what, I want my children to end up in prison. I want my children to have to go, I want them to have to deal with addiction. I want them to have to go through divorce. I want them to have to go through sexual abuse, whatever it is. None of us say that. God doesn't say that about us. God has a plan for his children. And a lot of times that plan is tough and hard for us to go through because of the decisions that we've made. But even in that, even in the decisions that we made, God still has a plan for restoration, but it takes time, it takes persistence, it takes waiting and seeking and listening and understanding, and that comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And when we study and know, my kids know when they go to bed at night, nothing's going to hurt them. And it's because they know who their daddy is. They know I got a house full of guns, and then I still got just a little bit of a switch in me that if someone was running my house, my angel wings would go down. They know that character about me. They know that if they are sick, that they're going to go to their mom because I don't do good with, I'm not compassionate like that. They know that characteristics about their mom. So that's where they run to. When we know the characteristics about God and we run to Him, it gives us peace. It gives us strength. It gives us the ability to wait and be still and wait for those answers. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I come to you, God, and I thank you that, I thank you, God, that the words don't add up to what you do for us. Words don't even begin to speak of God, of your understanding of us. God, we can't completely comprehend the way you answer things, God, but you do answer us, and you do listen, and you do desire to hear from your children, God, and you still desire to speak to us daily. God, I pray that you just condition our hearts and our minds, God, that we may receive and hear your word. God, I pray that you settle our feet and settle our eyes and settle our hands and our ears, God, that they don't operate in chaos, God, but they slow down and they begin to seek peace, God, and they begin to follow and obey your word, God, because when we make ourselves available, God, and we begin to seek you out and listen to your word and apply your word to our life and understand who you are, God, you will reveal yourself to us. And I just thank you, God, that that we have a loving Father who desires to show up in a mighty way. We have a loving Father that has a perfect will for His children's life, God. And I just pray, Father, that we begin to seek you, begin to listen, and that we take the time to have conversation with you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right, and we're going to bring the Holy Spirit back in the room now. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. You, as always, as every week, you have homework, so don't forget to soap this week's reading, and I don't know what it is. I'm sorry, I didn't write it on here. And then next week's memory verse is Romans 3:23, so as always, whoever's the first to raise their hand gets free coffee, if you get it right. 16 through 20? John 16 through 20. Thank you all. And then I will be in the back if you guys want. We still have the little Bible study tools. If you guys want to purchase them, I'll be in the back after this. Other than that, you guys are dismissed. We'll see y'all next week.